We said last week we're looking to dive off, and hopefully we'll finish where we started, which was, how deep can I go? That should be our question, Lord. How deep can I go? Not how far should I go? It's how deep can I go? I want to go deeper into the things of God. I want to go further into the things of God. And that is our heart for this morning. But not just to go deeper, but to have intimacy. Because God is looking for intimacy with each and every one of us. Not just a distant relationship, or not just one where you do a lot of things for God. Many times we've been there where we're doing a lot of things for God, but we start to feel like, what am I doing this for? Maybe even you start to get burned out. Maybe you start to question, what's the point of all of this? I would suggest that those are times when you're doing a lot for God, but the intimacy with God is not matching up with the output that you're putting out. Because without the input, without the intimacy with him, it's very hard to put out. And so this morning we're going to go to intimacy. And it's one of my favorite topics. And yet, this week as I was thinking about it, it's like, Lord, how do we go further in this? Or how do I reveal it better? Or how do we get greater understanding on it? So let me give a disclaimer from the very beginning. You can't teach intimacy. There's just no way that I can tell you this morning how to be intimate with God. I can suggest ideas. I can whet your appetite. I can show you that God is desperate for your presence, but I can't teach it to you. It's like sitting down and someone trying to teach you how to fall in love with your wife or your girlfriend. It just, you have to discover it. It has to happen. It has to evolve over time. But this is what God wants from us. So I'm not going to be able to teach it to you, but I hope that we can reveal it to you and give you greater understanding of the access that you have. Maybe something will just start to bust in your mind and you go like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I could have that kind of intimacy with him. And then as we come into our final week, it is by no mistake, it is by design, we will come into our encounter week and we'll start to pursue the presence of God like never before. In the Old Testament, the presence of God wasn't in people. But in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, where is the presence of God? He is in us. And yet, as Christians, sometimes we can find ourselves in relationship with God, but very distant from him. We can find ourselves, I am a new believer, I am with God, he is for me, I am united in Christ, but I'm not sure if I'm that intimate with him. I'm not sure if I'm that close to him. And so this morning, that's what we're going to draw our attention to. I want us to go deeper. Anybody getting sick and tired of their 5 or 10 minute prayer times that are just boring? You know, let's just be really honest. Sometimes they're just boring. Sometimes they're just monotonous. Sometimes they're just like, I don't even know why I'm doing this. And yet God is calling us this morning into a deeper place where it's not just surface level like we chatted about last week, but we're going deeper underground and we're going further into his presence. I want times with him, where I come out of his presence and I'm like speechless. I'm like, wow, what just happened? That's the kind of moments that God wants to have with us each and every day. Can I assure you this morning that that's not just to happen at a conference or a summer camp or at a really good service? That's what God wants with us every single day. When we get into his presence and we're speechless, where I'm like, wow, I just couldn't handle that. It was just off the charts. Where I come out of it, I'm like, wow, I can't wait to get back. Wow, do I really have to leave? Wow, my heart just won't stop. What does that feel like? The first time you met your girlfriend, or the first time you met your husband, or the first time you met your wife, oh my goodness, they're amazing. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't think I'm going to be eating tomorrow. I don't even call it fasting. I'm just lovesick. I don't even know what I'm going to be able to do tomorrow. I'm just so sick. I'm so in love. And it just starts to grow and grow and grow until you get to the point of, what do you say? I cannot live without them. They're the only one for me. And you start to think all crazy love songs. And you say, that's going to be it. That's our first dance song. And that's the one we're going to rejoice to. And that's the one we're going to, I don't know, all sorts of things too. But when we get married, it's intimacy. We're getting closer. We're getting closer. And that is the picture that God wants us to think about this morning. When we get into his presence and we are speechless. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll be really honest. A lot of my prayer times, I'm not coming out speechless. I'm coming out thinking, thank Lord, that's over. You know, thank you, Jesus. I've kind of done it. I'm going. I'm moving forward. And I've been determined. I've been committed. But God says, I am looking to take you deeper where your quiet times with me, you're just never the same. You're just never the same. You're coming out of them literally different because of your time with him. That's what he wants to do this morning. That's what he wants to do in your life. And that is what he wants to reveal to you this morning. It sounds like falling in love because it is falling in love. And he wants you to come into his presence. Can we remember back to those early days? Whenever you left the presence of the one that you loved, or maybe you're still seeking it, and you can imagine what would happen. It's like, it feels like life's over when you have to leave. You know, it just is. And if you never saw them again, it would feel like it's all over for me. It's just all over for me. And yet that is what he wants for us, and that is what he has for us, and that is what he is calling us to this morning. So I hope your heart is already starting, I feel like I need that. Maybe your mind is saying, I definitely need that, because that's definitely not what I have with God. That's okay. And God says, let's go further. Or if you have that, he's saying, let's go deeper. Let's go even more. Or if you're stuck somewhere in the middle, don't go backwards. Go forward, because he has more for you. And he's excited to see you. We were designed to carry the presence of the Lord. We were designed for it. Psalm 16:11. I think we've got it on the screen. I'm going to show it to you this morning. You will show me the path of life. Let me show you what happens when we're in his presence. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. What a wonderful truth, what a wonderful reality. Now, let's just break this down just for a moment. You will show me the path of life. So when you're with him, he suddenly just shows you directions. He shows you where to go, what not to go. He gives you a vision. He gives you a future. It's incredible. But that happens by default in any relationship. When you start to get intimate, it starts to become the thing. It starts to become who you are, and it starts to be like the direction you go. But with God, he will show you the path of your life. I need that. Second part, in your presence is fullness of joy. Imagine this. It's not just coming to his presence because I must or because I have to and because he commands me to. He's saying, no, I'm going to touch your emotions. I'm going to fill you up. I'm going to give you fullness of joy. I'm going to cause you to bubble over. In fact, I might even cause you to laugh a bit. Heaven forbid. I might even cause you to laugh a bit and to get excited and to be overflowing. You see, as Christians, we're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to be happy, we're supposed to be excited, we're supposed to be joyful. And people should say to us, you should calm down. And we should say, no, you should rise up. Because I have the joy of the Lord and I cannot contain it. And then the last one, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Can you believe this is in the Old Testament? Pleasures? I mean, is this associated with God? Pleasures? I mean, he is the guy who created it. I want to encourage you, in his presence, pleasures forevermore. It's like so much better than anything else that you find your satisfaction in. I know some guys were meeting up this week and we're talking about old times. They're still playing Call of Duty at 3 a.m. You know what I mean? It's like, what? These guys are like, they've got kids and they're still in Call of Duty in the middle of the night. I'm like, go to sleep, you know? But they're looking for pleasure. And I'm like, he's got pleasures at his right hand forevermore. It's like, there's nothing wrong with Call of Duty, but watch out that it's not trying to take the pleasures and steal from you the time that you need to have with God, because he is your forever pleasure. He is your unbelievable one. You see, when we come into intimacy with God, there is everything that we need and more. Now, here is the huge mistake that you can make, and I feel that I've made many times, and maybe you've fallen into the same trap. I go home and I pray this. I go home and I pray, God, just show me the path of my life. And God, just give me that fullness of joy. And God, at your right hand, pleasures forevermore. Now, it seems like not a bad prayer. But do you know what it's like? It's like finding the girl of your dreams and then just ask them to give you stuff all the time. It's like, I'm not interested in you. I just want what you can give me. It's just like, give me this. Where's my dinner? Like, just give me this. Just give me that. And I just want this. And would you just get out of the road now? Because I've got what I need. And for God, it's like we could turn this into a shopping list of the things that we want instead of a description of the overflow of our intimacy. See, this is what happens when we get into his presence. You have no need to ask for this. You have no need to ask for it. No need. Just no need whatsoever. It's like getting into a relationship and asking the other person to love you. It's ridiculous. If you're in an intimate relationship with the one that loves you, they just love you. It's all over their face. They couldn't even stop it if they tried. It's just who they are, and it's the way they love you. It's the way they talk. It's the way they communicate with you. It's the way they spend time with you. You don't need to ask for this. God already is showing you this, but it comes as we're intimate and going deeper into the things of God. Now, you can go to him and ask it for a shopping list, but you're just doing yourself a disservice, and you're not stepping into the fullness that God has for you. Because as we go after the things of God, then suddenly he does show me the path of my life. Suddenly he does give me the presence. He does give me his fullness of joy. Suddenly he does give me all the pleasures and more. And I begin to wonder, oh my goodness, what's going on? Is this the best life or what? And even in the midst of the trials and even in the midst of the troubles, I feel his strength. Even in the midst of the pains, even in the midst of the issues, even when I get the bad report, I just have a strength and I've got a peace because in his presence is fullness of joy. Let's not anymore go to God with a shopping list in the sense of give me this, this, and that. Let's go into his presence seeking him and him alone. And as we seek him, don't worry, he will give me all of those things. He will satisfy my soul. He will lift me up. He will encourage me. He will give me all this and more. This is what I want. This is what I want this morning. I heard a funny story just the other week on the radio, and I thought it kind of proves the point really well. Talking about lottery winners, and they had this thing, I think it was like 25 years since the lottery began or something like that, and so they had some of the people on that won it from the early days, and they said this, they said, the relationships that we had before, we thought they were deep, and I thought they were greater than they were, but when I won the lottery, suddenly every conversation ended up, can you give me some money, can you give me some money? And God smells this out and knows this, and he knows your heart a mile away. And I encourage you, that is not the relationship that you want with God. It will not get you the intimacy that you so desire. One of the guys said this. He said, you know, way back in the early days, I won a life-changing sum. And he said, every relationship from that, even my close ones, I always had a doubt because I was always waiting for that question, could you help me? Could you give me some money? He said, it didn't matter how long we talked. It didn't matter how long the relationship would go on for, whether it be weeks or months. I always knew at some point they would get to the point of the whole thing and they would say, any chance of some money? Or I'm really struggling for this, or I need that. Now, was there anything necessarily wrong for asking for money? No, this guy had more than enough. But it wasn't the relationship that he was seeking. And what he was trying to say was, even though they could have got from me, it was not going to satisfy and fix all of their issues. As human beings, we are created for deep connection. We are created for deep connection. And we can go to God like a doctor. And we can go to God like a person who has everything that we need, because he does. But he says, I am inviting you into deeper, deeper relationship with me. And suddenly now our prayers change. And suddenly maybe that 10 minutes of like, I must tell God this, and I must ask for this, and I have to remember that person, and I've got to get this thing out. Suddenly all of that just floats away. And we just sit there, and we just talk. Do you know whenever you get into those deep, intimate relationships, maybe with your husband or wife, or maybe with a best friend, a lot of the times you don't even need to talk. You don't even need to say. It's only maybe at some points where you just give the real truth of it, and they're like, oh, okay, I knew something was going on. And yeah, I just didn't want to say it, because I just knew, and I was just thinking about you. I was just praying. But God's even better than that. He knows every single thing in our hearts. He knows every single thing that we have need of. All he really wants is fellowship and communion, because he said, don't get consumed with all of that stuff. Get consumed with me and watch how I satisfy your soul. The bottom line is, even if every issue and prayer request gets answered, it will not be enough. Because what really lights us up, what really satisfies us, is the presence of God. Is it any wonder that the Holy Spirit lives in you and I in the New Testament? Is it any wonder that he chose to get away from the buildings, get away from the ark, and he decided to live in your heart and in your life and make you the temple of the Holy Spirit? So do not forget that he is there, and do not forget that he wants to come into greater intimacy with you. Our goals are not the outcomes of what he gives us. Our goals are Jesus himself. And so as we dig into this a tiny bit further this morning, we have to question our motivations. And we can say that to God, and we can ask God, and we can even submit that to God and say, God, you know what? Sometimes my motivation has not always been what it should. I feel like this morning that you're revealing it to me, that my motivation has been for myself more than it has been for you. And you know, in any relationship, if you're going into it with yourself more than the other person, it never works the way you desire. Never does. When you're in that marriage relationship that God designs, or you're in that best friend relationship that God always intended, you're always giving more to them than you're thinking of yourself. And in return, they're doing the same thing back to you. And then this wonderful kind of in-between happens where you're like, wow, this really is the right way to live. This really is the best way to go. And God is saying this morning, it's because I designed it. And it's the way our relationship would work. I think of nothing. This is what God's heart is to you this morning. I think of nothing of myself. All I'm thinking about is the Father, and all I'm thinking about is you. It's why he went to the cross. It's why every day he rejoices over us. It's why every day he can't take his gaze off us. It's why every day he's thinking about you. It's why every day he's rejoicing over you. It's why every day he chooses never to let his love slip, no matter what you do or no matter what you do because or haven't done, because he loves you with an unconditional, everlasting love. So let's dig in a bit deeper this morning. If we're going to get into an intimate relationship with God, we've got to understand that love is the key to everything. Now, I know that you know this, but I know that you forget it sometimes. Love is the key to the relationship with God. Love, love, love. We just cannot say it enough. And to really get intimate, you've got to love. And here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this week. And he said, you know, sometimes once we let love slip a tiny bit, our relationship with God becomes more like a business deal, where we're looking for the right transactions to take place, where we're looking for the right outcomes, rather than the person that we love, rather than the person that floods our soul, rather than the one who satisfies every need that we have. We forget, and it turns a tiny bit, and suddenly it becomes like a business deal, or it becomes like he becomes like a boss, and we stop forgetting that he's the lover of our soul. We stop forgetting that he's the one who loves us, that he's the one who died for us, that he's the one that has no need for anything from us other than us. All he wants is us. He's got no needs outside of that. All he wants is us. All he deeply desires is us. And I started to think how subtle it is. Because here's the truth. If you go after God in a business sense, you will get a lot of outcomes. You will get a lot of things. I wrote down a few. Business rewards will get you finance, will get you promotion. It will get you security. It will get you a lot of those things, even in the natural world. That's what it does. It gets you security. It looks a lot like what you want out of love. And yet, the outcome is not always what you desire because it's not a deep thing. You ever find yourself working in a business and then one day you got the knock on the door that says, we don't need you anymore? You're replaceable. Ever got that where you went into work one day and one of the guys got it recently and they just said, hey, we just don't have the work for you anymore. And so what you thought was a stronger relationship and what you thought was a deeper relationship and what you thought a contract sorted, that contract was now null and void. It made no difference. It's all over. Because in the business world, there's no love. The only love that's really in there is probably the love for money. It's probably the love for success. It's probably just the guy who runs it or the person that owns it and the love for the shareholders or the love for this, the love for that. But the employees, they're just there to do a job. They're just good servants. You're not going in with the anticipation that you're going to fall in love with your boss. You're not going in with the anticipation that you're going to fall in love and you're going to have every need satisfied. And yet sometimes when we come to God, that's how we go to him. It's like, just go in today and I'll get what I need and hopefully it'll work out. No, what God is looking for is this. His rewards are intimacy, which leads to completeness, which leads to joy, forgiveness, fullness, grace, eternal life. And the connection that we get with God because of love is deep. It's everlasting. It's eternal. It's one that says you are unique. You are irreplaceable. You are a one of a kind. There is nobody else like you, and I would never dream of replacing you. It's completely different, and yet sometimes we can get down the wrong track. Can I encourage you this morning and a heart cry this morning as we go into the presence of God and as we aim to go deeper, we have to go with the right mindset and with the right heart and in love. Otherwise, it will just be about what happened or what didn't happen. How many answered prayers did I get? How much did God move this week? How many miracles did I see? And all of those things are really, really great, but without love, they're not his heart at all. They're not his heart at all. When we get into that loving relationship, it's not about all the things that we did. It's more about how much time did we spend. It's more about how did they make me feel. It's more about what we did for each other. It's more about that connection between us. Some days it's like we don't even care what we do. When you're really in love, we don't even care what we do as long as we're together. And that's the same that God is looking for in our hearts. And that is the same invitation that he is inviting us into this morning. That is what he is yearning for. A deep love. And then the overflow will be advancing the kingdom of God. Can I even suggest this morning? That you could be busy doing the works of God, but you've lost your love for God. Can I encourage you this morning that if you love God, you've no need to even think about working for God. You're just going to do it. You're just going to do it. Because I love you. Yes, dear, I'm going to pack the dishwasher. Because I love you. I'm going to help you with this. Yes, I love you. I'm going to do that. It's exactly the same with God. It's just a natural overflow. As we love him, suddenly our hearts just overflow. And it says, I can't wait to serve. I can't wait to serve. And yes, of course, sometimes you got to do a quick check and go, right, am I still serving? Am I still helping? Because that should be there. But it shouldn't be the only thing. And it shouldn't be coming from a place of a small love. It should be coming of an overflow of a real love that we have with Jesus himself, that we have with God. Here's what John 14, 15 says. It says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Now, at first glance, as you read that scripture this morning, it can almost seem like God's being compulsory. It's like, you got to love me. You got to obey me, and you got to fulfill my commandments. And all of those things, to a sense, are true. But the translators in some of the later translations miss the point. What's missing out of that is the "and you will." If you love me, then you will obey my commandments. And the emphasis is on the first part, whereas when you love me, you're just going to automatically fulfill my commandments. When you love me, you just have no intention to do anything else. When you love me, you've just got no thoughts of cheating. When you love me, you've got no thoughts of any other God. When you love me, you've got no thoughts of not doing for me. When you love me, you've got no intention to do anything else other than doing the things that please me. Because when you love the person that you love, you want to do things that please them. When you love the person that you love, you just want to do for them. You want to be around them. You want to help them. You want to say, yeah, let me do that for you. You want to say, no, you chill. I'll do that. That's the love that overflows, and that's the work that automatically happens. And so this morning as we read that, that is not something to put us down. This is something to give us hope. If you love me, the only thing that we should be worrying about is the if. That is the only thing that we should be worrying about is the if. The rest of the part happens. If you love me, when you love me, you will obey all my commandments. You just will. It just happens. You don't have to worry about it. You just stay focused on loving me. You stay focused on being intimate with me. You stay focused on getting closer to me. And all of that is going to happen. And so in a practical sense, how does it look this morning as we get more intimate with him? It looks like oneness. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 10:30, the Father and I are one. The Father and I are one. Wow. So close, it's like hard to tell us apart. So close, it's like I only do what he tells me to do. So close that I only allow thoughts to be acted upon that are his thoughts. So close that every one of my desires have disappeared. Now, with the wrong mindset, we could think to ourselves, man, that just sounds really bad. It's like, does God not want us to have a mind and will of our own? But think about this. When you fall head over heels in love, you're not looking to be in control. You're going to say, I'll do whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want. Like, whatever you want me, I'm doing it. I love you. It's just like, it's that kind of thing. And with God, that is his heart's desire and that is his yearning for you. As we get into intimate relationship, we become joined together. Now, when you read that and you think a tiny bit, what's that a picture of? Marriage. It's the picture of marriage. And so God has built marriage. And this is why marriage is so foundational to society, because it's the bedrock of families, and families are the bedrock of society. Is it any wonder that the enemy wants to attack those? Because biblical marriage is from God. It's his design. It's a man and a woman. And that's what he decided from time began. Because in that, what does it represent? It represents him and us. It represents Jesus and the church. It represents that oneness. And it says, if you remember your wedding times you've been before, it says, you know, a man and a woman's going to leave and they're going to come together and they're going to be joined together. They're going to be joined together. You know physically they're not joined together. They're still off doing their own things. But we also know that the closer that they work together, the more committed they stay, the proximity that they keep to each other in terms of closeness, the intimacy that they work hard on and the intimacy that they maintain, the more successful their relationship will be. It's exactly the same with God this morning. And if you're wanting to see what it should look like, have a look around and say, right, who do I know that just has an incredible marriage? That's what God's looking for and more. Here's the incredible part about it, is that on his side, it's all good. On his side, it's sacrificial love. On his side, he never forgets about you. And so he makes it easy. He says, you just get on with your part. I'm going to leave my part perfect. And you're going to know I'll always be there. You're going to know I'm always ready. You're going to know I'm always listening. You're going to know that I always care. Marriage is incredible. But could you imagine marriage without love? Could you imagine it this morning? Let me just make a note on this, because I just think it's crazy. Marriage without love suddenly becomes crazy, because the cost and the sacrifice is too extreme. The cost and the sacrifice is ridiculous. I wrote down three or four things just to give you an idea. If you came to a marriage and there was no love in it, the idea of giving up your freedom is ridiculous. Can you imagine? You imagine that guy, let's take the guy for example, he's standing at the top of the aisle, and he's standing at the top of the aisle, and he's standing with delight because of the love in his heart, and yet he's given up his freedom forever. He's never going to be free again. He's going to have a wife, the chances are he's going to have kids. He will never be free again. It gets even worse. He's going to have to forsake everybody else. No such thing as getting an upgrade, or at least there shouldn't be. He's going to have to be with her forever. He's going to have to say, I want nobody else. I don't want anybody else. I'm forsaking everybody else. It seems prehistoric, this idea, because marriage has been around forever. And yet, when you add love into the mix, it's the best day of his life. So good I spent most of my money on it. So good I'll tell you for the rest of my life, it was the best day of my life. So good I want to video it. So good I want to take photos of it. So good I never want to forget it. And yet it's crazy unless you bring love into it. Because he's given up his freedom. He's forsaken all others. He's saying, I know your faults, but I'm looking past them. You know when you really get in love? I don't even see your faults. I just love you anyway. It's that kind of thing. And even if somebody came and pointed out their faults to you, you'd be like, don't even care. I love them anyway. I have decided. You see, in the midst of marriage, what really holds love together, in the midst of every relationship, what really holds it together is commitment and sacrifice. But how ridiculous would it be if love was not the foundation? It would just be crazy. Could you imagine going into your workplace and saying to your boss, I'll never work for anybody else again. It's only you for me. Just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Could you imagine going into your workplace and say, I'll never be free again. I willingly sacrifice my freedom for you forever. Ridiculous. You would never, ever do that. And yet sometimes when we come to God, that's the way our relationship works. It's like, God, you've let me down. It's like, God, you're not doing for me. It's like, God, I don't even know why I did this thing. God, I don't even know. I don't even think this thing works for me. It's like, no. When we get love in there, then we willingly choose to lay down our lives. When we get love in there, suddenly it's like that very idea of not being free seems amazing. Because I'm going to be attached to the one who loves me forever. Then suddenly the idea of forsaking everyone else seems incredible. Because there's nobody like him. There's just nobody like him. Suddenly the idea of just looking past, the idea of having no need for anybody else seems incredible. And the good news of Jesus is that he has no faults. He just has no faults. So he makes it easy in that sense. And he says, come close to me. I have intimacy for you. God is here this morning and he's saying, I want you to remember some of these stories. I want you to remember some of these points. So when you go into that secret place with me, it's totally different. It's a place of love. It's a place of acceptance. But you are fully aware of the cost. It's sacrifice and commitment. You are fully aware of the cost that will be involved. Because here's the other lie that we believe sometimes. It's like, I went into God's presence and nothing happened. Since I was in there for 2 minutes and nothing happened. He's the king of the universe. He can do anything. It's too quick. It's too fast. When's the last time you ever got intimacy with anyone in 2 minutes? It's too fast. You got to have more time than that. You got to get prepared. You got to get ready. You got to say, I am here for intimacy. I am here to be alone with you, Lord. I am here for you to speak to me. I'm here for conversation. I'm here for you to touch me. I'm here for you to do something deep in my spirit. I'm here to be changed. I'm coming out of here speechless. This is not something that's going to happen really quickly a lot of the times. This is not something that's going to happen when we decide it. This is something we get in, and it's not about outcomes. It's all about, I just want to be with him. I just want to be with him. But as we reference the sacrifice, as we reference the commitment, suddenly it becomes okay because of the love that we have. God's heart cry this morning is that I don't want you to have a relationship with me that's based like the law. That's why he came and died on the cross. We had a transactional relationship years ago. Whenever you're in sin, you killed an animal, you go back to right living again. Tried your best, lived as good as you could, made a mistake, got an animal again. It was relentless. There was no real intimacy. Remember, in the beginning, God walked with man. And then sin got in the way and separated us. Could it be that the lack of intimacy in your life with the Lord is a direct result of the sin of this world? Could it be that it's the number one tactic of the enemy, like it has been from the beginning, to get in between himself, between God and man? Could it be that the enemy is working 10 times 100-fold? He's working just flat out to remove the intimacy that you have with the Lord? I assure you, he is. He is he hates intimacy because remember, that's what he had with God. The idea of intimacy between you and him, he's disgusted by it. He hates it. That's why he is out with every part of him and all his buddies, all the demonic forces, to try and remove intimacy from your life, to try and steal it from you, to try and put it in your thinking, to try and rob you from because of distractions, to try and get you busy, to try and get you concerned, to try to get you worrying, to try to get you to do anything but think about the presence of God, to try and get you anything but into the presence of God. Because you know what the psalm says? In his presence, our problems melt away like wax. Every mountain issue, every problem, everything, it just melts away. You see, when we get into his presence, everything changes. Everything changes. I want to read a final scripture this morning because I know where time is going. Revelations 2. Can we just share this together? Revelations 2. So at the beginning of Revelation, you have different churches, and the Bible tells about these different churches with different issues. But I believe this morning this one needs to speak to your hearts. Because we could be here this morning and we could still have an intimacy with God, but there's a complacency. We could have an intimacy with God, but we have a complacency, and I want to assure you there is more. And I believe this morning God wants to speak this over our hearts. It says this, God's speaking to his people, and God was speaking to a church back in the day, and he speaks to us this morning. It says, I know all the things that you do. So remember this, God knows us, and he knows the things that we do. He knows everything that we do. He says, I've seen your hard work. So it's not a question of you haven't done anything. It's not a question that there hasn't been any hard work involved. There has been. And your patient endurance. So we have made sacrifices. We have endured for him. I know that you don't tolerate evil people. And you have examined the claims of those that say they're apostles but are not. You have discovered that they are liars. So we have went after the truth. We have stood for the truth. We have found out when things were wrong. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. Incredible that we have done all of that. Now look at verse 4. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. It's not a question that you don't love me. You love God. Of course you do. The Spirit of God inside of you is crying witness to that, is bearing witness to that. You do love him. But note what it says. You don't love me or each other. Next part is really crucial. As you did at first. As you did at first. Something has got in between. Something has moved. Something has drifted. And it is not good. And it is not healthy. And it could be busyness of life. It could be social media. It could be another relationship. Because we're pretty good at that. You know, we forget about a relationship with God. We get consumed with other relationships. It could be lots of different things. But God's heart cry this morning is, I love what you've done. I've loved what you've done for me. Remember, there's nothing that we can do that he really needs us to do. So it's not about doing anything. But the really important part is the last part. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Now remember, God is love. So he has no need for any love. He has no need. He is in no short supply of love if we don't love him. There is nothing that happens on his side in terms of a deficit. But what does it do for us? We are living at a deficit because we need that interaction with him. We need that constant fellowship with him. We need that love overflow with him. We need that engagement with him. It is for us. He is not saying this for himself. He is saying this for us, for our benefit, for our glory, for us to come closer to him because he has no need for anything. But he says, I want you to discover who you are in me, and love must be the foundation for you to live the whole life that you want to live. You see, for God, his heart is broken when he sees us going after and even being busy for him, but we haven't really secured our intimacy with him. God's heart is broken when he sees people out there that don't even know him, that are busy after the things of their life and trying to get satisfaction and trying to get all that they want to achieve in life achieved. But he knows without that foundation of love and without him in love with them and them in love with him, life will never be what they intended and life will never turn out as they dreamed or anticipated. And so this morning, my challenge is this as we finish. But I have this complaint. And remember, we read it earlier, Romans 8, no condemnation. This is not a condemnation scripture, but it might be convicting. And that's okay. But this is not condemnation. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Let's give ourselves some hope this morning. Verse 5. Before we do, analyze this. Look how far you have fallen. It's not on the screen, but guess what verse 5 says? Look how far you have fallen. God wants to reveal to us this morning how far we have moved, so we get a realization that we need to turn back to him. Verse 6, it says, "Then turn back to me and do the works that you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches." God is here this morning, and he said, "I know your heart. I see what your heart is like. I know what you're after, but I want to give you the truth. You've got to come close to me. You will not get the satisfaction. You will not fulfill all that you have dreamt without being in an intimate relationship with me. So I'm telling you the way to get back. It's not to condemn you. It's to help you. It's not to put you under. It's to allow you to rise up again. It's to allow you to go further. I'm telling you, look quickly at how far you've come, because that will give you a realization of you need to pray and you need to repent. Then repent. Turn back to him and watch how the floodgates open, and watch how he fills you afresh, and watch how he transforms you like never before."